Well, as you've just heard, I came back from Southern Africa late last night. I'll try not to fall asleep in the pulpit, but I know it might be harder for you to avoid that. But let me say a word about some of the things that have been in my mind since this visit to Southern Africa over the last week or so. South Africa itself is a place which, for very many years, worked on the assumption that one lot of human beings could be fully and satisfyingly human without the other. That for one part of the population, humanity, peace, prosperity, and security was something that could be attained, while the rest of the population really had to make their own way and suffer from all kinds of disadvantages and often all kinds of insult and diminution of their humanity. And to see how that country has come through a period of huge trauma with a new vision, a new energy, and a new moral power is always something massively encouraging. And when I've been to South Africa, and when I've spoken to South African people, what they will often quote is an old tribal African saying, "I am because you are. I am because you are." In other words, I can't actually be human without you. And if I try to understand and develop my own humanity, its peace, its security, its flourishing, without the others who are around, I'm actually going to end up being much less than human. So the new South Africa is meant to be a society trying to make that real. The great Archbishop Desmond Tutu used to quote that phrase about "I am because you are" all the time. And he would say that that was the real content of the word in some of the South African tribal languages for humanity, which is Ubuntu, that it carries with it all sorts of implications about being human along with other human beings. I went on from South Africa to Angola, a country which has had decades of civil war, refugee problems, health problems, massive disruption of people's lives, a country which is still trying to find what it might be to create a just and a peaceful humanity together. And driving through the streets of Luanda, the capital of Angola, is a very educating experience. You see, as you often do, the signs of new prosperity, new building, lots and lots of cars, mostly bumping into each other most of the time, and you see the people living on the rubbish heaps, literally, in shacks of corrugated iron. And you wonder a bit what they make there of this principle of "I am because you are." But they're trying, they're recovering from a long period of trauma and unhappiness and terrible violence. They're working towards something fresh, something new. They know it's a problem. So in the light of the theme that I know you're looking at this term, about being human, it's that kind of vision I just wanted to put before you this morning. Being human isn't something just given to each one of us as an individual. We're all learning to be human. As we grow up, we learn how better to be human, how to be human more fully, more creatively, more freely, as our reading this morning reminded us. But the great extra, which Christian faith in particular says to us, is that that enterprise, that adventure of turning into real human beings is something we have to do with one another. That everyone I meet is going to contribute to my humanity. That I am not actually going to be the fully human person I'm meant to be without the person sitting next to me. Which may at times be a welcome and natural thing, and may at times, even in a meeting like this, be slightly difficult to believe. But it also means that I've got the job of trying to help the person next to me be human. They're not going to be human without me either. It's a real collaborative enterprise. I need you, you need me. I'm going to be more human because I've been here today, I hope. And with any luck, you might be more human as a result of meeting me. Hard as it might be to believe, but that's what happens day after day. We work together in this strange task of making one another more human. And what the New Testament says to us about being fully human is, I suppose, capable of being boiled down to two things. One is, quite simply, we become more human by being more open to one another, by that active concern that the person next to us should really be human, should be free, should be joyful. And, says the New Testament, we learn to be more human as we learn to be more like Jesus. Back to the reading again. The glory that's shown in Jesus, the radiance of fully creative love, a really risky compassion, that shining force and energy that is in Jesus, that's humanity. That's what it looks like. And that's what God's Spirit helps us to move into. When we ask God's Holy Spirit to be at work in us, we're not just asking to have nice religious experiences. We're asking to be made more human. We're asking to be made more open to each other, more aware of the ways in which we depend on each other. We're asking to be made more like Jesus Christ. And of course, one of the tragedies of our world is that what was true in South Africa in the bad old days of racial discrimination there is still horribly true of a great deal of our world. Plenty of human beings work on the assumption that what's good for me or for us, me and my friends, has nothing to do with what's good for you. You look after yourselves. We know how to keep ourselves safe and warm. A lot of the world seems to be organized on that principle. And again, when you go to Africa, you do see the effects of many, many, many years in which most other countries of the world seem to have forgotten about Africa or to have thought that Africa's poverty has nothing to do with our wealth. So all of this works at the individual level. It works at the level of our meeting with one another. When I meet another person, I may like them or not like them, but one thing I can be sure of is I'm supposed to help them to become more human. They're supposed to help me become more human. Day after day, in the most ordinary circumstances, that's the question that needs to be in our minds. How are they going to help me be human? How am I going to help them be human? And then it works at the level of international relations, relations between countries and societies, above all, between the rich and the poor in our world. And a very great Christian thinker said hundreds of years ago that the problem you get when you have tyranny and oppression isn't just a problem for the people who are suffering it, for the poor and the oppressed. Yes, they suffer, their humanity is frustrated. But, he said, it's also a problem for the tyrant and the oppressor. If you get used to living like that, you may have all sorts of power and security, but you're actually becoming less human in the process. By inflicting poverty or deprivation on somebody else, by treating them with prejudice or ignorance or indifference, you're becoming less human. I am because you are. It's a motto that can apply to a school, to a church, to a friendship, to a marriage, to a relationship between Angola and the United Kingdom, a relationship between the United States and Zambia. At every level, that's the pattern. It's the pattern that God asks us to grow into if we actually want to grow up and be human in the way God means us to be. And the Bible is full of some very suggestive hints about what a wonderful thing that humanity is when it really works, when people are depending on each other in the right way, flourishing, growing, exploring with each other because of each other. So, this morning, pray that that's the kind of community, the kind of friendship that's possible in a place like this. But pray, too, that it goes on being possible in the wider world, that we'll see more and more communities, like South Africa, prepared to take a deep breath and step forward into that new kind of relationship where you can really talk about I am because you are, about people becoming human with, because of each other, for each other, and so knowing and doing the will of God in Jesus Christ. Amen.